RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
This is RCR. It's Monday morning. Paul Brennan with you. And, of course, Chantelle Baker. Chantelle Baker is an independent journalist known for her work during COVID and live streams during the parliamentary protest 2022. I was glued to those. She's done work for RCR and recently settled a defamation lawsuit against the New Zealand Herald. And there's more to talk about. Chantelle, welcome to RCR this Monday morning. How are you doing?
Oh, Paul, I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me on.
How's the bubba?
He's doing very well. I'm actually watching him right now as he's eating bread off the floor.
As you do.
I know. It sounds worse than it is. It's tiles and he throws it. So I thought it was kind of the safest place for him.
No, that sounds completely sensible. It takes me back. Anyway, to some business here. So this is interesting. You settled with the New Zealand Herald. They paid you some money. Is that how that worked?
Yes. Yep, that's how it works. The downside to settling with anyone with a lawsuit means that it's not seen through to court, which means it's not technically a win. It's just a settlement.
Yeah.
So they basically wanted to get rid of the suit, and we negotiated on what that would look like from my end in order to make that suit go away. For me, if I pushed it through to court and the judge didn't side with me, then I would be liable for their legal fees as well.
Right. But they must have thought there was a chance that that it might go south for them, right?
Absolutely. We had a really strong suit against Kate Hannah and the Herald, and so it wasn't a question of not being able to make it to court and thinking that things would turn pear-shaped. I actually had a bit of a plan up my sleeve. If we settled this one, I wanted to take a larger suit against Stuff News for Fire and Fury, but we couldn't afford to do both. So I had to make a decision on what I was going to do. And so the settlement, which I can't disclose how much it was, but it means that I was then able to make the decision to take the Stuff News lawsuit.
Got it. What did the Herald say about you, Chantelle? How did they defame you?
Yeah, so I'm not sure if I'm allowed to go into the exact particulars of the lawsuit itself, but what I can say is from my end, the lawsuit was riddled with many different parts that I considered grossly defamatory. And in the suit, we only put a few specific things, mainly to do with Kate Hannah. But to me, the entire article actually contained numerous pieces that were defamatory. They tried to insinuate that I was possibly a Russian spy, and then they tried to say a whole lot of things about my fundraiser up in Wairoa. It was riddled throughout all the work that we've done over the last few years, and it wasn't researched. I mean, in one part, he tried to claim the writer that they couldn't see in the Give a Little that we'd donated. Yes, if you click onto the Give a Little page, you can see the Operation People donation on the second page. So I don't think he actually researched for this article. I think he just decided, what do we have that we can try and put in there that would make her, that would try and destroy her reputation as quickly and as quickly as we possibly can? And so there was many, many pieces in there. And I am going to do a video at some stage with all of the information that I have, all of the receipts that we have to prove that every aspect of this was fabricated. But to do with Kate Hannah, Kate has been going on multiple news outlets trying to insinuate that I'm somehow a dangerous person and that I should be censored in some way, in some form. And so in this Herald article, they essentially used her as almost a character reference as to why I was a potentially terrible person to follow and potentially a dangerous person as well. So we decided to sue them for some of the statements that she said in that article. And then obviously the Stuff one is because of some of the, I would say, more outrageous claims around me being dangerous and some of the implications she's made in that.
Yeah, it's incredible to think that they thought you would go away or had some perception of you that you wouldn't sort of fight your corner at any point. And incredibly loose standards. Can you believe they went down this road, Chantelle?
I can, because again, it's not about putting forward accurate and truthful information to the public. And this is what everyone has to understand. This is simply about destroying my reputation as an independent person. This has nothing to do with trying to make sure the public know the truth about me, because or else they would have researched and they would have had accurate facts in this article. This wasn't an accurate piece, and it wasn't intended to be an accurate piece. I believe it was just intended to try and destroy my character and to destroy my reputation in front of the public as much as they possibly could so that people wouldn't listen to anything I was saying, particularly around the flood, because this came out when we were in the middle of the flood with everything that was going on in that situation.
Yeah, so the flood. Is the flood relevant because it could have generated some kind of goodwill or good perception of you? Is that what they were having a go at?
Well, I'm not sure if it was even that. I made a comment on Twitter. It was a reply to one person where I said, because someone said, why don't we just donate to the Red Cross instead of to you? And I had said, well, we are going to make sure that 100% of what we raise goes directly to the flood relief and isn't used on administration. I said, something along those lines is what I've said. And the Red Cross responded to that and they were quite upset at me. But now we know, and the Red Cross was being pushed by the New Zealand Herald. That was their big fundraiser aligned. And so what we know now, a year later, is that millions have been withheld for future flood relief, for future emergencies that didn't go directly to what it was actually fundraised for. And you can argue, well, that's fine, and it is. However, the public weren't told that when those funds were being raised. And this is something that has been a continuous issue when people are fundraising through the Red Cross around the world, is that funds are withheld, but at the time they're fundraising, they're not telling people that. And the Red Cross even put out a statement saying that they were putting 100% towards relief effort and nothing was being withheld for admin. But I would say, well, if you're wanting to build offices for future emergencies and this and that, that is administration. So I think this article, David Fisher contacted the Red Cross for a statement, and I think he decided to write this article from there. Of course, I could be wrong on that, but that's just my interpretation of the situation.
Okay, got it. Fire and fury. How do you think that will go down in the history of New Zealand media, Chantel, when it's written, whenever?
It's hard to tell. I mean, from anyone who has an objective sense of reality, it's an absolute joke what they made with that piece. And they tried to link people together that had absolutely nothing to do with each other. They used smoke, they used dramatic wording, they used music that would make you feel a certain way. I mean, they had holy water she was washing her hands with. And what they tried to do in that, I believe from my perspective, this is what they tried to do, is try to insinuate that a whole group of people with varying different backgrounds were potentially Nazis and potentially dangerous and or domestic terrorists. That's what I believe they wanted the public to think about Fire and Fury.
Yeah.
Which is a disgusting way to portray a very large group of people, myself included. But they used statements that other people had said and then cut to images of me, which then implied that I was somehow aligned with those views. So Fire and Fury will go down as being perhaps one of the biggest mockumentaries ever seen in New Zealand. However, it depends if the judge can look at this from an unbiased viewpoint or if he's seen Fire and Fury, aligns with them and wants to believe that it's true.
Yeah, and maybe you don't want to say too much about Kate Hannah, but I kind of feel sorry for her.
I know what you mean. I did think that the other day because I think I don't know who she works with behind the scenes. She definitely believes what she puts forward, but I do think that to a certain extent she is manipulated by her own echo chamber into saying these outrageous claims and then believing them and then trying to validate them by talking about them on a national stage. But I'm not sure if the Disinformation Project was ever a registered company. We can't seem to find the record for it. So if it wasn't a registered company, that means that she is working as a sole trader and is potentially personally liable, which can mean your house, et cetera, is on the line if a lawsuit comes to fruition of a significant enough sum.
That's interesting. All right. And how long does it take to grind through all of this, Chantel?
Well, we actually filed the Stuff lawsuit, I think, the day before the statute of limitations ran out.
Okay.
So you have 2 years from when they initially put forward that piece of information. And so we filed that we settled with the Herald and we filed, I think, the day before it was due to run out. And the reason being, that was just the time frame that we had to work to with the settlement. So it will take a while. We have to file the documentary as a whole because it's not just about the phrase that they would say about me in the documentary. It's how they framed me as a person of ill intent throughout that documentary. So you have to look at the graphics, you have to see the music, you have to look at how they've put other people saying things that I don't agree with in front of me and then cutting to me. So it is much more expensive, because rather than a judge or a jury looking at a few pieces of wording, they then have to sit through an hours-long documentary.
Right. Okay, then, and you went on the platform the other day. Did he call you a cooker?
No, Sean, I think he's actually pretty good to me most of the time, to be honest. I like talking with people that I don't always agree with.
No, that's fine.
And I think Sean is, and Sean is one of them, but I know that he can be quite polarizing to many people, and he does treat different people differently. So you don't always have the same experience.
He's in your fan club, I think. He's in your fan club. Chantel,
I appreciate the effort.
Yeah, well. Thank you for coming on, and let you get back to the little one on the floor there. We'll follow this with interest. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Thank you so much, Paul, and thanks to the whole RCR team. I really appreciate the work you do.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.